This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me break it down for you again.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Devontae Smith, touchdown!
Got it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You hold good football teams to 10 points, you should win the football game.
Today's guests, Chargers wide receiver Ladd McConkey, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth, actors Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen. And now, Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, which has everything ESPN all the time. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, also on the air. We say hello to our Sirius XM Channel 80 listeners as well, and to you podcast listeners. You're just as important to us, even though you're listening to us whenever you want. It's your right. Through all 3 hours, we say hello to you. And we've got some a great... I dare any other show to put Ladd McConkey and Mary Steenburgen in the same group of guests. Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen together in hour number three in advance of their season two of the Netflix series Man on the Inside together. And then Mark Schlereth, a guy named Stink, and Sam Malone on the show. I mean, that's how we're rolling today. We got a great celebrity true or false in store. It's an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. The Overreaction Monday podcast is still out there in your RSS feeds or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for everybody who wants all of that. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. Who's more likely to have heard of the other, Ladidi or Mary Steenburgen?
Great question. I don't know.
I mean, it's Tuesday, but we can play what's more likely. That
I don't think I'm going to use real estate with either one of them to see, hey, do you know Ladd McConkey?
Yeah, just for us. Just for us.
Or the fact that we refer to him as Ladidi McConkey.
No, she knows him.
Keegan-Michael Key, as Mr. Garber referred to him.
Ladidi McConkey.
Good to see you over there, Mike Del Turco. How are you? Our sound engineer, our audio executive is here. TJ Jefferson, the candle's lit, as I could see over there.
I'm good now, but I was pretty stressed last night. I'm going to let you
know. We're going to talk about that later. Couldn't tell, TJ. I'm just glad that you're here as proof of life.
What you saying?
Because you didn't respond to a single text on that chain last night. And you were the one on the guillotine in our fantasy league. We'll talk about that later.
All right, I'm just saying.
We've got an audience in studio for the first hour today. The students.
Hey.
There's Professor Schuster. With her students, Power Players and Platforms in Global Sports of the University of Southern California, the Marshall School of Business, and the Annenberg School of Communication. Only class that crosses both streams like Ghostbusters. You're not supposed to cross
the streams.
But it works.
Something strange.
So they're all sitting here.
I was farming hot takes this morning. Let's see what I can use for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Okay, hot take farmer Chris Brockman. All right, let's start with the Monday night football game, even though the Mavs have fired their general manager.
Yeah, we knew that.
We'll talk about Nico later on. But let's talk about the Monday night football game.
Do we have to?
Well, yeah, we will, because, you know, obviously it's going to leave a mark. It's left a mark. And we'll look at it from the top down, first of all. The NFC standings, the Eagles wound up being one going into the game because they were off last week when everybody else lost in front of them. And they're still one now. One game over the Seahawks. I don't want to bore you with the details of the tie breaks. And the Rams, they're one. And the Packers drop all the way from first place in their division to third place in their division. They're seventh overall now. And the Bears are in second place in the NFC North and have some, wait for it, wild card cushion.
Here we go.
That's what the final score of last night's 10-7, sometimes difficult to watch, but exhilarating sometimes nonetheless, Monday night football contest in Lambeau Field. We'll take it one team at a time here. And of course, we have to start with the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, who are now 7-2 with a dynamite Super Bowl caliber defense. Oh my God, do they have a terrific defense. I think it was funny last night, Joe Buck, when the Monday Night Football broadcast was introducing the defense of Philadelphia, and he basically said, here's the defense, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, most of them played from Georgia, you know, most of them from Georgia.
Pretty good.
And he's not wrong. Yeah. Nolan Smith got activated before the game last night. He's been hurt. Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. Jalen Carter, who is one of the best, if not arguably the best at his position, a game wrecker of the A++ variety from the middle of the defensive line.
Where'd he go?
Georgia. Hey, Christopher, we loved this guy when he was playing for Georgia. N'Kobe Dean is back.
Everywhere.
And healthy, and he's making open field tackles. One that he made on Josh Jacobs in the fourth quarter last night in the middle of the field. And he also was the one on the sack of Jordan Love. Ball popped up in the air and he tried to slap it at Josh Jacobs, but it was a fumble. And of course, you know who recovered this fumble? The guy who Howie Roseman acquired from the Miami Dolphins for a third round pick that we were wondering, anybody else want to throw a third round pick at the Miami Dolphins for Jalen Phillips? Anybody? Bueller? I understand that reference, pop culture reference, probably lost on the USC students.
Give them credit, Rich. They go to USC.
But I don't but they don't take a day off. Like Ferris Bueller, that's the reference I was making. Okay, I got some thumbs up. I don't feel that old. Listen, anybody else want to flip a three? Because it's going to be better than Philadelphia's, more likely than not. Miami would have said sold. Yeah. And anybody who didn't has got to be looking at, oh, so Jalen Phillips recovers that fumble. Oh, okay. He's not part of this Philadelphia defense. And the back end. What, Quinyanimo Bay, right? Is that what it is called?
Is that what they're calling it?
And Cooper DeJean and the rest of those guys in the back end?
Well, you know what McAfee calls him.
Amazing whites.
Exciting whites.
Exciting whites. Yeah. Ah, so cool.
Well, I mean, that's the photograph in your local wine shop. Okay, so defensively, check the box. There are some box checking of the Philadelphia Eagles that I think we've come to see in their Super Bowl window era of Nick Sirianni, okay? And one of them is, you know, more likely than not, terrific defense. Okay, Vic Fangio's dialing it up, the whole business. And then it's just offensively, they're mystifying. They mystify you. Outside of running it through Saquon Barkley for 2,000 yards plus in last year's campaign, it's like if he's not working, it's just not working. And it looks brutal. It looks completely like tooth pulling for first downs. And Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, on third and long, isn't even targeting A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. There were multiple third and longs last night, and he's just like checking it down. He's not even checking out what's going on. A.J. Brown, two catches in the first half, Bupkis in the second half. So, you know, it then leads to the now seemingly weekly occurrence of a press conference of what's up with the offense, Jalen Hurts, and then he'll give you a soundbite where it's all business and it gives you nothing else to hang your hat on. Hit it.
When we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's not a capability thing. It's not a capability thing at all. It's, you know, we're very confident in what we can do. We just got to go out there and play at a high level more consistently. And you know, I think this game was a perfect example of what it could be when we take advantage of our opportunities. And then when we don't control the things that we can, how they can hinder us.
Anybody?
I'm getting sick of this, dude.
Don't get sick of it.
I mean,
because he's your Super Bowl MVP from last year, and he could be again this year. And
no chance.
No chance. Because guess what? Another earmark of an Eagles game is weird stuff. And I just gave you some weird stuff. The weird stuff. Weird stuff like we're going to run tush pushes. And this league is so on the officiating to officiate this stuff right. And the first tush push against the team that tried to legislate it out of football happens three snaps into the first drive for the Philadelphia Eagles. And one of their offensive linemen is clearly moving before the snap.
Clearly moving. He was in the defensive
and
line.
And the officials who have been told to be on their P's and Q's for this are staring right down the line. And all the 19 4K cameras that ESPN has on this line of scrimmage is capturing a clear false start. And they don't call it.
It's embarrassing.
And then at the end of the game, after watching all the teeth getting pulled on offense, the Philadelphia Eagles defense gets another turnover on a run play on fourth down with the Packers having the ball at the end of the game with a chance to tie it and force overtime. They get another turnover, this Eagles defense, on a play that Josh Jacobs said the Eagles were calling out before the snap. Again, we'll talk about the Packers later on in this hour. The Eagles get the ball back. They got to run out the clock best they can. They've got Saquon Barkley to do it. They've got to burn through the Packers timeouts first. At one point, they throw it.
Like, what are they doing?
But that's in the previous possession that eventually led to Green Bay having a chance to tie it, only to fumble it back to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now they're just going to run Saquon Barkley all the way to fourth down, at which point, with the Packers out of timeouts, but the Eagles need to burn off the last 30 seconds on fourth down, do they punt it?
Nope.
Do they just run Jalen Hurts around before maybe getting him up the field? Something to burn some time off? I would have punted it instead.
Try again.
This is when he decides to target A.J. Brown.
Hey, why not?
On a deep ball down the left side. That's as 50-50 coin flip as you possibly can get when this analytics-driven franchise clearly has a percentage on a way a punt would work out. I'm not a next-gen stats guy. I'm imagining the odds of percentages were better than 50-50 of the punt working out.
You would assume. Probably 90.
And that's the way the Packers get the ball back, needing only 20 yards or 30 yards to get a decent field goal shot. No timeouts left. I don't get that decision at all. Let's see if the explanation from the head coach lends any more clarity than the quarterback did about the offensive struggles.
I would have liked to be in a little closer to kick a field goal, but the closer we would have got, the more, you know, again, you play every situation a little bit differently, but it was into the wind on that one. I knew the kick would have had to be a little bit lower trajectory of a kick on that particular one. I got a lot of faith in our offense. It didn't work out on this one. You know, I stand put on that decision, you know, especially being up three, because you go up six, they're still going to need a touchdown, being a Hail Mary, everything like that. So we would have ended the game if we would have got that, and I got a lot of faith in our guys to be able to do that.
Now, again, this is a simulcast on the radio. And, dead air doesn't do well on the radio.
No.
But after hearing that, I just have to say,
What?
It's like the Nick Young, the Swaggy P GIF of like, huh?
I don't understand that at all. But it leads to the last check mark of Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl era window opening type of football. They won. They won. And Nick Sirianni wins his 55th career game as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. That is tied for the fifth most all-time by a head coach in their first five career seasons. The only ones with more. Mike Smith, how about them apples back in the day with the Falcons?
Interesting.
Okay, Matt LaFleur, who's losing last night has everybody questioning his job status, even to his face in the post-game press conference.
Fair.
Two fewer than Paul Brown with 57 and George Seifert with 62. Win. W. I am. Put up the NFC standings one more time, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Hoskins, and I'll explain to the radio audience. There's no photographs attached to that. No photographs of the offensive struggles or the weird decisions and the tush pushes that they get away with movement before and Saquon Barkley coming in and out of the game and A.J. Brown not getting targets and Devontae Smith getting one and coming up with the one touchdown necessary. Yada, yada, yada. They win.
Yeah, but who are you picking in a game against the rest of the teams behind them? You're not picking the Eagles.
I get it until the Eagles do show up and put it all together.
Well, that's a pretty big if.
Or they don't. You could say that all you want, pal.
So I'm going to keep doing it.
They're 7-2.
Yeah.
Yep. They could be, I don't know, 3-5-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the 11th seeded Dallas Cowboys at present. Or the Packers at 5-3-1.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, 5-1-1. Once upon a time, the team that eviscerated the Detroit Lions in their home in week one.
Yeah, that's the preseason. Their ship be
only
sinking.
Now to lose back-to-back games against the Panthers and Eagles at home. Again, we'll talk about the Packers later on. But the Philadelphia Eagles, despite the weirdness and the wildness and the head-scratching and the yeah, this, that, but the only earmark of the more recent days of the Super Bowl window that has yet to appear is the passive-aggressive proverb being posted by A.J. Brown post-game, which he is yet to do or chooses not to do. Oh, I looked before the show,
you
Chris.
Did? Okay, good.
It's not there.
Okay.
There's nothing there, although I only looked on one social media site. I haven't scrubbed them all, but that's part of your,
I'll check some
your
others.
End yeah. of the business,
here
Chris.
Here we go.
Hasn't happened yet. Maybe that'll happen, but say what you will, the Philadelphia Eagles are atop the NFC entering week 11 as they are next up against the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. Holy smokes. That game, in case you're wondering, is in fact in Philadelphia. Before they visit Dallas again to try and sweep the Cowboys, that Bears game the day after Thanksgiving gets better and better every single week. Making that visit to Philadelphia for Al Michaels more than just about one of his favorite four seasons. And then there's the Monday Nighter here against the Chargers, our neighbors across the way. And that's the way we segue to break. Because Ladidi McConkey is about to join us after he came up with a 100-yard performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't think he's ever appeared on this program. Certainly not since. Well, he did. He shot a video for us when Keegan-Michael Key was back in studio here two weeks ago. He's going to join us. Mark Schlereth will join us. And then our three, Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen, real-life husband and wife and co-stars of the Netflix series Season 2, Man on the Inside. That's our three. But Ladidi next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature. And it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Jesus.
Everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it really bothering you that
they
much?
They never text me.
Well, now we have to bring our radio audience up to speed.
let's ask them. Yeah. Let's ask the kids here.
No, let's not ask the kids
100
here.
100 text messages. Are you going to sit and read all of them and respond?
No, hold on a second.
You won't.
Everybody. You've got to be on your best behavior. Listen.
Well, we're past.
No, listen. Listen. Let's do this. Radio audience, 844-204-RICH, number down. What do you do when you're in a fantasy league and somebody, and you're texting your group, and one person is intimately involved in the wins and the losses of this league, and they do not respond a single time to the text message? Do you take offense to this or not? What do you do? If you're the commissioner, what do you do? 844-204-RICH. We take it to the people right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, ESPN app, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Also, be on your best behavior, because we've never had this guy on as a guest.
Yes.
We referred to him as you LaDidi McConkey. And he is a Los Angeles Charger.
LaDidi McConkey.
Fresh off the win on Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers here, courtesy of the Pepper Portal for Dr. Pepper ahead of the Texas and Georgia game. And it's his birthday today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, happy birthday, LaDidi McConkey. How are you, lad?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Other than getting an appearance on the Rich Eisen Show, what did you want for your birthday, lad?
Just some downtime. Just relax.
Okay.
You know, don't have to worry about too much. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so you're in the grind of the season, basically, is what you're saying right now.
Yeah, for sure. So any little downtime you can get's good.
What would you even do with downtime? Like, what would you do? If I give you downtime, boom, you got downtime. What would you do with it, lad?
Well, I'm probably just hanging out of the house with my wife and my dog, watching some YouTube, something like that, just chilling.
Okay, well, I'm looking right now down the pike. You got time coming up in week 12. You got a bye week. That's coming up.
We do.
Okay. So you just got
to. So I'll probably head back to Georgia, go back to my hometown, see the family, maybe do a little hunting, something like that. So okay. We'll see.
What do you watch on YouTube with your wife and your dog? Like, what are your choices? What do you normally watch?
I like to watch I like YouTube golf. She doesn't really like it, so she'll just hang out.
Okay.
Enjoy it with me. But,
okay. So. What's the name of your dog?
Nelly.
Okay. It's not Ugga. Yeah. It's not Ugga. You didn't think about naming your dog Ugga?
No, not Ugga.
So it's not a bulldog, is what you're saying.
It is not. I got a poodle.
Okay.
We just got her.
A poodle.
Yeah, she's like,
okay.
7 months? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to get the full picture of what's going on in your life right now. I was there on Sunday night, lad, and I watched that victory for your team coming in against the Steelers team that had just been—they just crushed the Colts—and I'm wondering what your thought on the Steelers defense was going in, and what you were able to exploit on Sunday night, lad.
Yeah, we knew they got a bunch of great players, super physical. Coach Harbaugh talked about it all week. It's going to be a physical battle, and it was. But really, our defense played lights out. They kept us in the game. Special teams made plays. And when we had to show up on offense, I feel like we did, and it was good. Got the good run game going, took some shots, were able to get some catch and runs. So overall, that was a great win.
One of the things I want to get to Harbaugh in a second. One of the things I could not help but notice when I was in the stadium last night. I got there nice and early, so you know I have a 14-year-old son who wanted to get there, and I totally get it, was how on the SoFi Stadium PA, you guys get announced as you're coming out to warm up by position group, and the lusty boos coming from the stands because they were filled with terrible towel waving. You're shaking your head already, fans in Pittsburgh. What goes through your mind, you and the Chargers, when this is the scene in your own building that you're seeing, lad?
Yeah, it can be a tough deal sometimes. You know, coming from Georgia, it's like I had really never experienced that before. But it was great seeing them all leave at the end of the game.
No, and I understand it. I don't mean to put you in a tough position because you don't want to sound critical of your fans who are full-throated in support of you, and there's many of them here in Los Angeles. I get it. And you don't want to criticize them, but I guess what challenge does it present to you that you're silent snap counting in your own building? Were you prepared for that this week?
I feel like we kind of always work on it. We work on silent count a lot just because we understand that happens sometimes. Just when you play other teams, like, you know, Raiders, Chiefs, whatever, teams travel. It seems like they travel a lot to our stadium. Mm-hmm. But no, we're prepared for it.
Okay. And then you mentioned how Harbaugh, Jim, was telling you all week it's going to be a physical battle. Can you walk me through what Jim does throughout a week in general to set the stage, to set the narrative for your team within the building, to set the I guess tone, how he goes about it, lad?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it starts with on Wednesdays. We're full pads. We're out there, you know, getting after it a little bit, obviously being smart, but you got to keep that, you know, physicalness going throughout the week. So that's part of it. And then I feel like, you know, our offense coordinator Giro does a great job of it, emphasizing it. Sanjay, my receivers coach, like, hey, like, we're going to block if you're out there on the field. So they just do a great job of emphasizing it and showing his reps, like, if you do it, if you are physical, this is what happens. We can pop big runs. You can turn first downs into touchdowns.
So setting the agenda, he comes out on a Wednesday and addresses the team, and you know what the agenda is going to be for the next 5-6 days, essentially, is what you're saying? Is what he's doing?
I mean, I would say, yeah. It can be, you know, different every week. Coach Harbaugh will have a different message whichever week we're playing. So this past week was just physicalness.
Well, the thing that he never talks about it. Certainly, you know, whenever I ask him publicly or in an interview about how he just seems to keep it simple. You know, I brought this up to Derwin James last week, and I'll bring it up to you. Is prior to the first game of the season in Brazil, I called that game on YouTube and I asked him, you know, what his philosophy is, how it works, why is he able to go into a program, make it his own, turn it around immediately? And his answer was, he just didn't, it was as simple as possible. He just said, I love football and I love people who love football, and people who love football love me. That's what he said, you know, and it's, you're laughing, right?
Simple as that.
Right? I mean, and does that resonate with the players in such a way that it works? Lad, is that as simple as that with him?
It's simple as that. I mean, he always says competitors are welcome. And I feel like we've got a bunch of those on our team. And Coach Harbaugh just does a great job of just, like, getting guys to rally together. You know, offense, defense, we're all feeding off one another. Somebody makes a play, then the next person makes a play, and then it's just, you know, a ripple effect after that. So, yeah, he just does a great job of bringing us all together. And like you said, it's as simple as that.
We love
football, and that's what.
Yeah, how are you a competitor?
Go ahead.
How are you a competitor? How are you?
How am I a competitor?
Yeah, right.
Shoot, I think I'm pretty competitive about everything I do, whether we're playing ping pong in the locker room, playing some golf in the simulator. And obviously on the football field, so I don't like to lose.
You're that guy, basically, is what you're saying. We all know guys like that. You're that guy. Lad McConkey, are you that guy? You're one of that guys that you don't like losing at anything?
I'm a pretty bad loser, I'll say.
What about an argument? Are you that guy, too, in an argument?
No, I can admit when I'm wrong.
Okay. When was the last time you admitted you were wrong? When was the last time you admitted you were wrong?
Oh, I can't remember. That's awesome. I couldn't tell you.
But so where does that come from? the competition? You're a competitor. Where does that?
I have an older brother. He's 5 years older than me. So him and all his friends always over at the house when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely where it comes from. It's like they were always beating up on me. 5 years older, so it's like tough for me. But then, you know, when I'm getting to middle school there in high school and still whooping up on me, so it was like I either gotta show up and get better. They're just gonna keep whooping up on me. So I think that's where it comes from.
Do you compete even with Keenan Allen, who set the record for most receptions in the history of the Chargers on Sunday night in the latter throws of that game? Do you even compete with your own teammates and somebody like a goat like him, lad?
Like you're talking about on the field, off the field, or what?
All of it.
Just a little bit of everything?
Yeah, sure.
For sure. Anybody. Like, we're in there and playing ping pong in the locker room, getting after it. Some guys just set up some cornhole boards, so we're playing cornhole. We got the golf simulator, so we're always competing.
Okay. And what about with yourself? What about year one of Ladd McConkey compared to year two? You compete there too?
100%. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I had a lot last year that, you know, I had a good year, but I was like, I can be so much better. Went in the offseason, you know, worked hard, had a great offseason, got healthy, got feeling good. So, yeah, I'm always trying to improve. And shoot, if I can get better and better and have a better season every year, I think I'll be good.
What do you think you're better at this year?
I think I've come out and I've just tried to be more consistent. And that's something I'm still working on. I feel like I've left some stuff out there this year, and that's just part of it. It's just like next play mentality is something I've been working on this year.
Okay. And what about the competitive Ladd McConkey? When the end zone's right there, you're seeing it. You just made a play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got a second touchdown right there in your sights. You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
What about that?
That's a tough deal.
How has that sat with you over the last 24 hours?
Oh, I should have scored. I was watching it. I should have trusted my speed. I should have just kept running, quit looking back, just head down and dig. So I'm upset about that one. I should have had two last night.
Were you sneaking? There is no Jumbotron. You got to really look up to see anything. So you weren't during that.
Yeah, I was like wrapped around so you're not able to see it. So I was trying to peek, but kudos to him. He was rolling too.
I mean, that's no joke. That's Jalen Ramsey who was trying to track you down, lad. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that pisses you off, essentially. That's what helps fuel the fire for the next game, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've already watched it way too many times. Like, gosh, I should have just kept running.
All right. So let's talk about the Pepper portal ahead of the Texas-Georgia. You never played against Texas when you were at Georgia, right?
I did not.
Okay. So this is just now a newfangled thing, I guess, now that Texas is in the SEC, and let's roll. That's what you're saying for this game.
Yeah, no, it's cool, dude. I feel like Dr. Pepper does, like, a good job just, like, bringing all the fans together. And I know how the fans were when I was at Georgia, like, 8 a.m. We have a 12 o'clock game, 8 a.m. They're out there tailgating, getting ready to go. So it'll be, you know, cool seeing the Pepper portal, and they'll be able to, like, interact with Texas fans and, you know, show them who's really got more school spirit and who's really got more pride.
So the Pepper portal is you're appearing within that prior to the game? Is that what you're saying? Is that what it is, lad?
Yeah, I think, like, I'll be on there.
Okay.
And then there'll also be, like, Georgia fans can interact with Texas fans. So you can have some, you know, friendly competition, you know, do some chants, call the dogs, whatever you want to do. Really just show what you got.
Okay. All right. And what do you think of the Georgia Bulldogs season so far and chances of doing what you were able to do when you were there, lad?
Oh, I got the utmost confidence in them. They've had some nail biters this year, but at the end of the day, they've pulled it out. So I think they're battle tested. I'm ready to see them, you know, come alive here down the stretch.
Okay. And you got a good Kirby Smart story? Is there one? He just strikes me as just a straightforward football guy too. Like, is there
probably
a good Kirby?
Probably too many.
Oh, really? Too many?
I can't repeat a lot of them though.
Is he a D's nuts guy like Nick Saban? Does he do that, or he's not that guy? But these nuts.
I don't know if he does that, but he's got his microphone out there, so you better be ready and alert, because you'll hear him, and you're like, where the heck is he? And you look down, and he's 100 yards over on the other field screaming at you.
Okay,
Okay. But it's all good, though. It's all good. It's all love.
Okay. So are you guys openly talking Super Bowl in the Los Angeles Chargers locker room facility and things like that? Openly talking about it?
I mean, I feel like that's something, like, since the beginning of the year, we were like, why not? Why not us? Why can't we go win the Super Bowl? Why can't the Los Angeles Chargers win the Super Bowl? We have players in the building, the coaches in the building to get it done. So, yeah, let's get rolling down this stretch, get in the playoffs, and then, you know, once you get in the playoffs, who knows what can happen.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time, and I've spent this entire interview holding back from calling you Ladidi McConkey, lad. Because that happened here on this set about a year and a half ago. It went viral. Yeah. Did I hear your quarterback refer to you as Didi after the game on Sunday? Lad, did I hear that?
Wait, did he? I really don't know, but I know tons of my teammates will always say it. There's like half the teammates all go, Ladidi, what's up? Now it's just like, okay, I just roll with it now.
Because we heard there was a rumor that they did, in fact, start to refer to you as Keegan-Michael Key, as Mr. Garvey referred to you on this program. Confirm that that is a new nickname.
Yeah, tons of guys call me that for sure.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a question I shouldn't. Do you mind it? Is it a big thing? Is it a problem?
No, it's cool. It's okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll roll.
Register.
Okay. I could be if that's the worst thing they're calling me. I think.
I do like that. Well, lad, listen. Appreciate the time. Everybody should check out the Pepper Portal for Dr. Pepper ahead of the Texas Georgia game. Lad is part of it. In advance of, I guess you are. Let me check this out. You are heading to SEC country. You're heading to Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness.
We are.
Well, you've played in this building, right? World's largest cocktail party, right? Have you played in this building?
I have played it a couple times.
Okay. Yep. Except this one, there'll be no drinking for this one. This is
I don't think I was drinking in the last one either.
My bad. But so you have
fans
you have,
definitely were.
Okay, so in advance of this Texas Georgia game, you've never played against Georgia. Your first competition with Georgia is, in fact, the Dr. Pepper Portal. But you are professionally playing in the building in which you played as a Georgia Bulldog in the world's largest cocktail party. I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Well, I look forward to you going back to your old stomping grounds like that. Good luck to you doing your thing. And I appreciate the time and happy birthday, lad.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Happy birthday to Ladd McConkey, the Los Angeles Chargers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. And off he goes. Who wouldn't want to spend their birthday here? We've all done it at one point or another.
We've all done it.
I've survived it. All right, let's take a break. The Packers end of things for Monday Night Football. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, God.
One big happy simulcast family. We're here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keys to progress.com. NFL.com. All right. The Green Bay Packers last night had the Philadelphia Eagles in their house. Problem number one, they're the Eagles. Problem number two, Eagles coming off a bye. Not easy to do that. Problem number three, they're not firing on all cylinders on offense as the Carolina Panthers just shocked them in their homes. And this is after they lit up the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, winning that matchup with Aaron Rodgers that was highly anticipated. Jordan Love had his best game, arguably as a pro. The offense was killing it. Then it's his 27th birthday. The Panthers gave him his birthday punches on that day. Now here come the Eagles. And the defense did its job, and the offense looked completely off again. Doesn't help that Tucker Kraft is done for the year. He was there yards after the catch, guys. You know they were serving up loads of Kraft's yak and cheese.
Hey,
I make myself laugh. But it doesn't help that he's gone, and he went out in the middle of that game against the Panthers, and they're still trying to adjust on what to do. I'm not making any excuses, because the Packers have now lost three games this year. All three of their games, they allowed 16 or fewer points. Only the Browns and the '08 and the Dolphins the year before have had more such losses in a single season in the last 20 seasons. Only the 73 Rams have allowed fewer points per game and losses in a season than the 2025 Packers. They've allowed 13 points on average in their three losses. All they got to do is score two touchdowns, and they are unbeaten. That's the difference between being unbeaten through half of your season and your head coach being asked about his job status. Yes, folks, Matt LaFleur, as we all know, coming into the season, the new man in charge, son of Carmen, Ed Policy, wasn't extending anybody's contracts. Not Gutekunst, not the head coach. So Matt LaFleur now, isn't this amazing? Just two games losing streak, going from 5-1-1 to this question.
I'll leave that for everybody else to decide. I'll just focus on the day-to-day and trying to do. I feel like you're always coaching for everything in this league. You know, I that's just my mindset. It's always been that way. You know, you can't ever exhale. You got to always be pushing, and that's just my mindset. So, and that will be my mindset until they tell me not to coach anymore.
That would be, I'll just say this, a mistake. I know it's not looking good right now. Listen, I know it's not looking good right now. This guy won 12 games his first 3 years in a row, and I know Rodgers was doing Rodgers things, but come on now, man. I think it would be a mistake, but then again, you know, this day and age, crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. And I know this one particularly stings, certainly when a fourth down play where Josh Jacobs, it gets blown up in the backfield so badly that he feels the need, I got to pitch it to Jordan Love to keep this game alive, and the ball's fumbled and it's a turnover on downs that turns into a fumble. Says this about the play call.
Fourth and one, they called out our play. We ran it like four times. They called it out. As a runner, don't ever feel good. I mean, whenever they know what we're doing, they'll never feel good because it changed my mind on how I'm going to run the ball, if we're just being honest. It makes me kind of like guess what I'm going to do. And obviously, you know, people are smart. They gonna be, if we got cold words or whatever, you hear it a few times, like you're going to eventually react to it. You know, I mean, that's football. But, yeah, I mean, it's never a good feeling.
How did it change the way you ran on that?
I mean, they called it out. We called our play. They said inside zone, it's coming right here. So I kind of like didn't want to run right there, you know. But yeah, that's just how I played out.
So the Eagles are calling out their code words and making their best offensive player, most reliable offensive player, second guess himself before he gets a football on a fourth down must have play on Monday Night Football. That doesn't sit well, and I understand. Like, that's coaching. That's on the coach. But I think you got to give this guy a little bit more grace. That's my own two cents. That said, kind of going back and forth here. Do you know the last time the Packers lost a home game in which they allowed 10 or fewer points? Like they did on Monday Night Football. I'll give you the answer.
I'm going to say it's a wild card.
Well, they had won 66 straight home games, allowing 10 or fewer points, including the playoffs. That broke that streak up last night. Last time it happened, in Lambeau Field, Week 8, 1991, when the Bears beat them 10-0 with Jim Harbaugh starting for Mike Ditka.
Wow.
That's the last time it happened.
1991.
Correct, sir.
There was only, I think, six people in this room that were born.
That's correct.
And there's 50 of us.
And they all have microphones in front of them. We're sitting on the Rich Eisen Show pool table right now as a professor.
I'm not going to say her age.
No. Listen,
I hope she was born in 1990.
Well, yeah, sure.
Totally. Oh, she was. Well, what am I talking about? Is this thing on?
What?
No bueno. But they're 5-3-1. Everybody just chill out. 5-3-1.
That's not the world in which we live.
But guess what? It's a we're still marathoning. We're marathoning. True. We're marathoning. Okay? And I've seen what this team can do when they're 5-1-1 as well. And the good news is the defense is balling out. And all Jordan Love's got to do is just see the field a little bit better, because some of this is on him. You see, remember that point where Christian Watson was open over the middle and they cut to LaFleur watching it back on the tablet, and he's just like, oh, this is after, you know, Aikman's like, he was open. And I know that for a fact, because Cooper really needed Christian Watson to catch passes to get off the guillotine last night. But the fact that supposedly LaFleur's in the guillotine, I think is nuts. It's crazy.
One playoff win in the last four seasons.
I understand that, man. But
well, then what are we doing?
Because you could see the same thing about most everybody in the National Football League as well. And this team can score points, and I think will again.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.